This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira, thumma amma ba'd. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love to meet you on the Day of Judgment. Say ameen, jama'ah. You know why? Because that's a testimony that you love Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's hear what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith. Hadith number 1848 in Riyadh al-Salihin. Qala wa an Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه ومن كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه. In this hadith, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, he who loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him, and he who dislikes to meet Allah, Allah abhors to meet him. فعائشة radiallahu anha, she was kind of like surprised by that statement. I mean, if you love Allah, Allah will love to meet you. And if you dislike to meet Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will not, you know, be happy to meet you, right? So the question, the logical question came to her mind was what? Anyone can expect what question comes out of this conversation now? What would she ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who likes that? Death. Who likes death, exactly. She goes, Ya Rasulullah, but what about death? I mean, no one likes to die. I mean, I'm assuming the majority. Everybody says, look, still, if I can have a few more years, inshallah, I haven't done this. I still need to do this investment or help with this or write this book or make this project. We always have an excuse to start to live longer. فقالت, قالت يا رسول الله, أكراهية الموت? What about hearing death? I mean, if you hate death, does that mean that you dislike to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla? That's her question. If you dislike death, does that mean you dislike meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قالت أكراهيات الموت فكلنا نكره الموت. We all dislike death. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس كذلك. That's not what I'm talking about, he says. That's not it. ولكن المؤمن إذا بشر برحمة الله ورضوانه وجنته أحب لقاء الله فأحب الله لقاءه والكافر إذا بشر بعذاب الله وسخطه كره لقاء الله وكره الله لقاءه. رواه مسلم. He said to her, that's not what it is. He said, this is not it. Because that's a natural, of course, you know, aversion of feeling. Like, we don't want like that. فقال, he said, no, I don't mean that. What I meant is that when a true believer is given the glad tidings of the mercy of Allah, his pleasure and his paradise at the time of death, he loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah also loves to meet him. And when a disbeliever is given the news of the torment of Allah and his wrath, he said that he dislikes to meet Allah, and Allah also dislikes and abhors to meet him. Rawahu Muslim. So what does that mean? So here the translation says, on the moment of death. On the moment of death. How is that possible? Because the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, that when in that long hadith, the journey of the soul, he says when a person is on their deathbed, and their soul is about to leave, the angels will come to take that soul out. If it was a believing soul, it would call that soul, قَالَ يَا أَيَّتُ نَفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ. Oh, your serene and tranquil soul, come to the maghfirah of Allah وَرَضْوَانِهِ. Come out to the forgiveness of Allah and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the believer obviously get excited. It's a good news from the angels in a moment like this. And that's why sometimes the believer, when they die, subhanahu, they die with a smile. Because of the good news and the sight of the angels in that moment. And he says, and also means that when the disbelievers comes or disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, when the soul is about to depart, the angel of death will come and says, Ayatu al-Nafs al-Khabitha, O awful, wicked soul, come out. Come over here. So he says, in this case, to a wrath from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And of course, he says that the soul, as a result of that, scatters all over the body. Like trying to hide and escape. So that doesn't come out. So the angel of death come and snatch that soul forcefully from the body of that individual. May Allah protect us from a moment like this, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So that's one of the interpretation of the hadith, is that it's in the moment of death, it's a testimony for the individual in the last moment in this life. So that is one of the most crucial moments, of course, for you. So if you don't like to leave from this world to the ni'mah of Allah when it's been given to you, then that's a disaster. So there's another meaning to it. And that other meaning is that while we are in the dunya, If someone tells you about Jannah and Na'im and the khair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this person still prefers to be in the dunya, eating donuts and coffee in the morning, than being Jannah al-Firdaws al-A'la. If that is the case, enjoy your donuts, ya akhi. So if you don't like to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a better place, it's a disaster. Or someone, when they're now, we're told about Jahannam and subhanAllah, so it's a disastrous situation, culture of our time right now. We're so much attached to the dunya, we don't like to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla. Some of us, as I say, actually it's a testimony in the heart about how good or bad we are. It could be how good or bad you are. Meaning, if you don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does that mean? What does it say about yourself? I'm not there yet. I'm still in trouble. I haven't done enough to be confident or at least satisfied. And if you feel, alhamdulillah, good, hopefully it's a good testimony. But don't be deceived by that. Do not be deceived by that, because the shaitan might come and tell you, you're good, you don't have to pray. Prayer is for the older people. When you start becoming 60 and 70, you can start praying, inshallah ta'ala. The shaitan can deceive you with that. So the most appropriate interpretation of the hadith is what we mentioned at the very beginning. That this is actually the right moment of death. When the last moment in this life is a joyful moment, comes from the angels, a testimony that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet you. And if it was the other way, Allah musta'an, then that's going to be the destination of the wicked soul. One last thing over here. What about the other hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to a young man who was on his deathbed? And he was struggling. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, قَالْ كَيْفَ تَجِدُكَ? How do you see yourself? How do you find yourself? قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَأَخَافُ ذُنُوبِ. I'm so hopeful in regards to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I'm still so fearful for my sins. And the Prophet ﷺ gave this young man the good news. قَالْ مَجْتَمَعَتَا فِي قَلْبِ عَبْدٍ مُؤْمِنٍ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا الْمَوْطِنِ إِلَّا أَمَّنَهُ اللَّهُ. That these two qualities don't come in the heart of a believing person in a moment like this, but Allah will give them safety. Why is that? Because that's the reality of ourselves. No matter how good we are, we can never do enough to compensate for the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course you're going to be fearful. You're going to be fearful right now of not meeting Allah as much as feeling what I missed, because I'm still hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept me, will forgive me, but I'm still stressed out about my own wrongdoings. So as long as you keep this balance, as long as you keep this balance in your life, when you do something good, alhamdulillah, you be joyful about it. When you do something bad, you need to be remorseful about it. As long as your heart is between these two qualities, you're good. The problem is when you start messing up in your life and say, Allah ghafoor rahim, alhamdulillah, and Allah is ghafoor, so he's gonna forgive me. Who are you to come and impose on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is he gonna do to you? So make sure to balance this by having always hope in Allah's mercy, at the same time fear for what you've done wrong in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our shortcoming, ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overcome our mistakes, our errors, ya Rabbil Alameen, and to reward us for the best of our good deeds with Jannatul Firdaws al-A'la. Wallahu alam. Any question, Jama'ah? Yes. Very good point. If someone doesn't believe they're going to ever meet Allah Azza wa Jal, or they don't believe that Al-Akhirah is better than the dunya, well, that person is going to, is he considered from a Muslim to begin with? No. It's a very dangerous, of course, yeah, kind of notion. I don't know to what level they believe in that, but if they truly believe that, you know, there is no Akhirah, there is no resurrection, so he's not a Muslim at all. Why? Because of all the six articles of faith that we know of, when Islam came first in Mecca, what were the two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized so much in the Quran? To believe in Allah and to believe in the Akhirah. The first two things. يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. تُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. So, because what's the point of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That you're going to have to stand before Him and you're going to answer for your cause. Wallahu a'lam. So if that person doesn't believe in the Akhirah, or says, Wallah, ya akhila, I think the dunya is the Jannah for the believer. Definitely, that's not the belief of the Muslim. Wallahu a'lam. Nah. What's the difference between having khashya of Allah and the khawf of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you look into English translation, they're probably going to use the exact same word for it, which is khawf, meaning fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. But in the Arabic language, there is a subtle difference here. Khawf is the basic instinct of fear, and specifically when you fear something that you don't know. So you're afraid of something because I don't know the outcome, I don't know the interactions, how it's going to look like. But khashya is there's an element of fear that comes combined with awe, meaning somehow has to do with the aura of love, aura of respect, aura of reverence, that makes a person's fear is a conscious fear. Khawf is an instinct. I don't know what's going on here, I don't know what this is, how it's going to hurt me, so you're scared of it. But khashya, you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You know His beautiful names and attributes. You know that His greatness. So you have this love and reverence and awe of Allah Azza wa Jal, but at the same time, you fear to underperform in terms of your ibadah and showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what He deserves from you and so on. So you're always in that level of khashya. That's what Allah describes about the believers. He used both terms, khashya and khawf, obviously. But when he could talk about ulama, قال إنما يخشى الله من عباد العلماء. Those who truly fear Allah, again, fear Allah among His servants, the best form of fear, those who have the knowledge. Wallahu ta'ala. Now, I don't want to say positive or negative because Allah used khawf also about the believers also in the Quran. So it's just like saying Muslim and mu'min. If you bring khawf and khashya together in one sentence, they mean different. But if you speak about them differently or separately, they're intertwined as one meaning. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.